Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back. Just when you think we've simmered down from the Willian conversation last night, we're talking about Arsene Wenger tonight. It's Lockdown Series Volume 2, Episode 28. I've got these lads in the house. This is a good one. Firstly, I'd like to welcome my brother from another mother, Mr. Super Kevin Campbell.
I'm ready.
Mister.
I didn't get muted.
You didn't. And I got busted for my...
I survived.
I can't find my yellow card anywhere. And someone last night said, it's green, Soph, it's green. I'm like, fine, sure, whatever. And also joining us is our favourite and good friend of the show from Same Old Arsenal Team Talk. It's Mr. Dan Potts.
How you doing? Boys and girls, all good? Man, it's good to be here, man. It's good to be here as always. And this is a very passionate topic of all of ours. So do you know what? I think me and Casey have disagreed a few times lately. I feel we're going to agree tonight on a few things for the first time in a while.
I think you may. And here's why. So I want to give everyone some background. We're on a WhatsApp group. So we chat with Dan and Lee and myself and Amanda and Super Kev. And when we saw the Be In Sports interview with Mr. Wenger and Richard Keys, our WhatsApp group just lit up and we were going back and forth. And we said, you know what, let's just get together and talk about it, because we all had very strong opinions about what he said and how he said it. Let's start it off with this one. And yes, this is Newman. It's my Trotter United shirt here. Good evening to everyone in chat. Thank you for joining us this Monday. We're a little later than usual, but there's a good reason for it. Super Kev, happy birthday to you know who.
Yep, my youngest boy, 18 today. So
18. Yeah. Oh, 18, man.
He's 18. Oh, my God. I don't know where the time goes. I don't know where it goes.
Oh, man. Oh. Doing you proud, those boys. Doing you proud.
Big time.
And that's because they have a great dad, too. So here's the scoop. When we heard that interview, Dan was the first one that sent the video. And funnily enough, I had already sent it to PG and Amanda on the Highbury Squad group. And I was like, I'm fuming. I want to do a show on this. And then Dan's like, we've got to talk about this. And I think the way to start this is understanding and realizing that Arsene Wenger was an amazing manager for Arsenal Football Club. He did incredible things. Not only did he revolutionize Arsenal 2.0 after George Graham, because George Graham really revolutionized Arsenal when they were in the doghouse. Wenger came in and took it to a different level, a more modernized, contemporary level.
Upgraded it.
Yeah. But he inherited a pretty good team when he did come in. And, you know, I don't think anybody here is slandering him in any way, but when he starts talking about the club and almost kind of trying to protect his legacy, you have to ask questions. So I just want to throw some facts at Kev and Dan, and then we'll go from there, okay? Because when you look at this, I'm just going to rattle off these names. So Wenger said that he had to sell players in order to keep the club alive, and that the club were going to go bankrupt if he didn't. This is the same man who handed insane contracts to players like Mustafis and Xhaka's, and could have bought certain plays when he didn't. I want to give you the global
picture.
He signed Richard Wright, Stepanovs, Luzhny, Skilarchi, Danilson, Santos, Rio, Kallstrom, Jenkinson, Ray, Jovinio, Jeffers, Shamak, Sanogo, Sigan, Senderos, Oshavin, Mustafi, Silvestre, Debushi, Lucas Perez, 17 million Lucas Perez was, by the way, from Deportivo, Paulista, 11 million from Villarreal, Mkhitaryan, Chambers, 18 million we paid for Chambers from Southampton, 18 million, Welbeck, Czech, Giroud, Frimpong. He also sold players, Fabregas, Robin van Persie, Ashley Cole, Samir Nasri, Adebayor, Alexander Klebb, Emmanuel Petit, Overmars, Gnabry, Touré. Granted, some of those players wanted to leave, but why did they want to leave? because they saw the model Arsenal were building under Wenger. Maybe his best signings, Cazorla, Ozil, Walcott, Koscielny, Reyes, Sanya. There's a few more to mention. I think the biggest thing with Wenger is the players that we could have signed. Yaya Toure, he had a trial with the Gunners in 2003. Vincent Kompany, that was from his Anderlecht days where we could have signed him, and Wenger wanted him to replace Sol Campbell. Jadon Sancho actually was a player we could have signed because Wenger saw he wasn't getting playing time at Man City back then, and he thought, you know what, he could be useful for the Arsenal. Pogba, could have signed him before Juve did, but we moved too slow. Even Messi was an opportunity for us to sign because we went to La Masia and we were ready to sign Fabregas and Gerard Piqué, and Messi was in the mix. Didn't happen. Ronaldo, we all saw the Piers Morgan interview. And N'Golo Kante, we could have signed him. That was the year we signed Granit Xhaka. Kylian Mbappe, 2016. We had another chance in 2017. And he decided to go in another direction and actually told Kylian Mbappe that we were going in a different direction. In 1998, when he was playing for Parma, Arsene Wenger had dinner with Gianluigi Buffon. Could have signed him as our goalkeeper. And Rafael Varane, from who now is playing for Real Madrid, when he was at Lens, we had the chance to sign him. And let's not forget the trial that Zlatan had when he was 17 at the Arsenal. I could go on and on and on and on and give examples. So, Casey, I'm going to come to you first. Arsene Wenger was a brilliant manager. In 2004, he gave us the greatest gift we've ever been given. Only one team has the gold Premier League. But after that, in the Premier League, there was a mantra to finish in the top four. Was he the one that built that top four culture, or did the club build that top four culture? The FA Cup wins, we'll come to it later. But when you look at it holistically, why don't you run off with this one first, Casey?
Look, you're right. Arsene Wenger is the greatest Arsenal manager ever. He is. And what he's done for the football club is amazing. But what happened after bringing us that Invincibles, Arsene Wenger became a systems man. He became a front for the board. And qualifying for the Champions League every season. And look, being a club that changed tack. They changed tack from wanting to be the best to just doing enough. You mentioned a lot of players there, and the players that were brought in to the players that were sold. The players that were sold, probably 95% of them are starters. And the ones that he brought in, if the other players were there, they'd be in the reserves. They'd be nowhere near the first team at Arsenal. So Arsene Wenger became a systems man. The league wasn't that strong. Everybody didn't have the kind of money that Arsenal had. That's why Arsenal, season after season, with some of these players who weren't really up to scratch, could finish in the Champions League spot. But the fan base, we got okey-doked, we got bamboozled, we got hoodwinked by the football club, and Arsene Wenger was part of it. Whether he wanted to or not, he proved he was part of it, because we didn't want to be the best and the culture changed at Arsenal, and we all could see it. Let's be honest, we all could see it change. And you know the worst place it changed? It wasn't just in the boardroom, it was on the pitch. You could see it change on the pitch. And when the fan base cannot trust that Arsenal team that crosses that white line, we are in problems, and we've been in problems for the last 16 years. So
it's a great point. You know, this is such a large conversation, Dan. I never know where to start it. Do you start it after the Invincibles? Do you start it where he inherited the great team from the great defense from George Graham? You know, do you start it after the Invincibles and moving to the Emirates? But let's stay specific to the conversation, because he's talking about having to sell players every year in order for the club to survive bankruptcy. That's the part where he lost me. And I think that's the part where many Arsenal fans, and I have to be careful because yesterday I said a lot of Arsenal fans agree with me on Willian, and I got roasted for it. But moving to the Emirates, I think we all agree, was the dream we were sold that never came to be. So I'll just turn to you and we can start with your feelings and then we'll get your opinions and then we can get to the nuts and bolts of what Wenger's saying and maybe how he's trying to protect his legacy right now.
Four words. Why did we move? Question mark. That is all I wanted to say after I listened to that absolute garbage that was coming out of that guy's mouth. Arsene Wenger gave me some of the best footballing memories growing up. But what he did as well, Soph and Casey, was give me some of the worst footballing memories and some of the most frustrating footballing memories. And you list those players off there, and it's amazing that you still miss the likes of Van Dijk that we could have signed, but we went for Mustafi. We were £1 or £2.50 short off of getting Suarez. Who did we get that year instead? Yaya Sanogo. Let's look at what he has done in the last 10 years, and somebody please tell me how they were not frustrated. Casey always says it, and that's why he loves Arteta, because Thomas Partey and Gabriel come into the club. He had 15 years without Vieira and Campbell being replaced. He made do with Song, with Coquelin, with Danielson, with Diaby, who was always injured, with Kallstrom coming in, with Flamini coming back into the club, Granit Xhaka. Never, ever, ever replaced Patrick Vieira. Then he did the same at centre-back when Sol Campbell left. And we went to the Emirates with Senderos and Giroud and Stepanovs and Clichy and Galas and Sylvest, Skilacci. So many bad players that we signed. And I personally feel like those mistakes will not be forgiven because it was frustrating the amount of times that we saw if only we had a centre-back and a defensive midfielder, we might have competed the year Leicester won the league. If only we had those positions covered, we might have done better in 2011 where we decided to dump ourselves out of four trophies in 2-3 weeks because our squad was so weak and thin and paper thin in terms of squad depth. So he has been giving me the most frustrating last 10 years of his tenure, without a doubt. But when I look at what he stands for at Arsenal, of course, there is the positives. There's the positives of what he brought us, what he won us, what style he brought, the way that he changed football coming into the Premier League from, you know, English football, by the way, changed it completely, competed with Fergie, who was by far running away with everything. And that's how what people still remember him for. And rightly so, because it was outstanding what he achieved. But the last 10 years for me have totally tarnished his legacy. And he was so stubborn, Soph, that he didn't know when to go. He should have gone in my opinion, in 2014 after we beat Hull. He didn't. He stayed another year and the Villa in the FA Cup saved his job. Then 2017, his contract's up and he wins the FA Cup against Chelsea and saves his bacon yet again. So he stayed way, way too long. But when you look at those comments that he's making, he is basically lying to the fans who adored him, by the way. Some of them did anyway, adored this guy. And he's lying because back in 2012, when we sold Robin Van Persie, he said that we are selling these individuals for footballing reasons. 2021, he's too old that he's forgotten that he said that. So now he's deciding that it's for financial reasons, that we would have gone bust, even though the stadium makes between 60 to 90 million every single year. He tries to pull the wool over our eyes by saying that Sami Nasri for 30 million stopped us going bust, that Cesc Fabregas for 30 million to Barcelona kept us afloat. Why lie? This is what I don't understand about it. So that was why I was fuming when I spoke to you guys on WhatsApp, because I'm thinking this is not only absolute rubbish, but he's lying and forgetting what he said back in 2011, 2012. And some people can say, but he had to say that. He had to say that to keep... No, be transparent with the fans and explain. They wanted to go because they wanted ambition. And the ambition of this football club was we want top four because it's a trophy. So Sami Nasri said, I'm going to go and win the league with City. So did Clichy. So did Sagna. Fabregas went and did this thing with Barcelona. Henri and Vieira went because they said it's a bunch of kids going into here. And look at Ashley Cole's situation in 2006 and tell me that you don't blame him for going. When you see, do I want to go and play with John Terry and Frank Lampard or Danielson and Senderos? I'll go to Stamford Bridge. Cheers.
And I remember
that's why I look at it.
A brilliant, absolutely great assessment, Dan. And I remember Ashley Cole talking about, you know, being around Vieira, and then all of a sudden you're surrounded by maybe someone like Fabregas, who's been made captain, and these younger players. When he was, I mean this in a respectful way, he was surrounded by men, and then all of a sudden he's surrounded by boys who are being asked to be men, and they're not ready for it, Kev. And you've been around it. You met Wenger, right? When you, mm-hmm. you were at the Arsenal before?
A few times, yeah. Yep. I met him a few times. Lovely man. Absolutely lovely man.
Quality. I've met him too. I've had the pleasure of covering him on two US tours here. Absolute class guy. Professor-like. Changed. Sir Alex Ferguson talked about how he changed English football, how he revolutionised how player behaviour should be in terms of nutrition, how they take care of themselves, how they look after themselves. I don't think any of that is in doubt. What we're talking about is the crux of what he said to be in sports. The club was going to go bankrupt. He had to sell a player every year, Super Kev. Mm-hmm. And yet he's making millions and millions. And I saw a really good friend of the show, Akhil VS, as you all know, from AST, who rightly said that when you're a chief executive, you get paid multi-million dollars if you're saving a business multi-million dollars. And when we moved to the Emirates, Arsenal Football Club became a business. Can you touch on a little bit of what Dan said too, in the sense that why did we move? If there was no intention to really deliver on what they promised us, and then the lies, it's like politics.
Sophie, it's so all ugly. A lie. Sophie, it's all a lie. Let's be brutally honest. It's all a lie. Remember, it was difficult for all of us to leave Highbury. It really was difficult because that's our spiritual home. But they said, hold on, we're moving to a brand new 60,000 seat a stadium, which is going to allow us to compete with the very top of Europe. That is why we moved. Or is it not? I keep saying it. Dan touched on it. We got sold a dream. We got sold down the river, and it was all nicey-nicey. It was all sunny at first. Oh, yeah, you know, yeah, we're going to have to pay it back, but this, that, the other. Arsenal Football Club, let's just get this right now. Arsenal Football Club, if they're not the best run club in the world, they're top three best run club in the world. Let me just tell you that. It's called the Bank of England Club for a reason. Because it is run superbly well. There is no way Arsenal had to sell a player to survive. It's impossible that they would go bankrupt. Why? You cannot get a mortgage on speculation. You can't.
No.
You get a mortgage knowing
stability
that you can pay it back. Not, and oh, you're gonna have to sell a player every year. No, you don't get a mortgage like that. So again, it's the narrative change where from Highbury we're winners to the Emirates. This is the narrative now. We don't actually want to be the best, because being the best, remember, the ante went up when we moved to the Emirates, Sophie.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, players were starting to cost a lot more money. Wages were starting to go up. But Arsene Wenger must have had a word with them and said, listen, I know what I'm doing. I could do it. I could get us top four. And the fact we were finishing top four every season, we lapped it up because we thought, what a fantastic, we've got a chance. And do you know what else? I'm going to mention this, which nobody's mentioned yet, the spin of all the players that could have come to Arsenal, that would never come to Arsenal. They would never come into Arsenal. But every summer, we got linked with this one, linked with that one.
The PR.
Yeah, great PR.
Yeah.
Great. Again, we get fed
season ticket renewals, Casey.
Exactly.
I don't blame
Arsene Wenger. I blame the whole situation, because the narrative and the culture and the mindset changed the Arsenal Football Club. That's why we're here.
So let me ask you guys this question. I'll start with Dan. Because you're right. There was a time where then they kicked into gear where they were signing marquee signings, started with Santi, and then the following year it was Ozil, and then the following year it was Sanchez. But they never backed it up like a Chelsea or a United or a City or a Liverpool, where then they went out and got the other positions that we needed to be kind of a world-class team to really truly compete in the Premier League or for the supposed Champions League when we really were striving for that top four. So I just want to rewind for a second, Dan. Who is really responsible for the top four culture business model? Is it Wenger or is it the owners? What's your opinion on that one?
I think that both have to come into consideration to blame. But I blame Wenger because Stan Kroenke, let's be honest, he doesn't care where Arsenal finish. He has no interest where Arsenal finish whatsoever. He doesn't even know that top four means you qualify for the Champions League. I'm sure that guy has no interest in football whatsoever, in my opinion. And he's running this as a business which he just wants to tick over. So Arsene Wenger knows that he can't compete with the Chelseas and Man Cities of this world because they spend, spend, spend. So what he does is make up something which says it's most important to win the league. If you can't win the league, you win the Champions League. If you can't get in the Champions League, you get top four, because that's as important as winning the FA Cup or the League Cup, which are trophies. Top four is a trophy. Fans still believe it. Fans still tell me now top four be so much better than winning Europa League. Madness. Utter madness. What have you got to show for coming fourth place? Nothing. Yeah? Give me 12th place in the Europa League this season anytime over top four. Yeah, because you've won a trophy and that's what it's about. The people that give Spurs all of that nonsense about we haven't won a trophy, you haven't won a trophy. Well, you've just said you want to come fourth instead of winning a trophy. So which one is it? That's the way I see it. And that is what Arsene Wenger has installed in some of this mentality, particularly some of the younger fans over the last 10, 15 years, because that is what we have been doing. We always want top four. Yes, we got top four. Brilliant. Absolutely superb. What coming fourth is good. That is not good. I remember being devastated, and KC will probably remember it, when we used to come second against Manchester United. It was like a mourning for coming second place behind Manchester United. That's what I grew up with. I might be spoiled. I might be a spoiled brat, whatever. But that is what I remember feeling down about, coming second. I remember winning the league at White Hart Lane and thinking, we drew. I look back now and I think, why the hell was I upset at that? So it gets to a stage where the mentality shift has become so much. And KC makes a great point. But one thing I'm going to say is, he says, we moved to the Emirates to compete. We were already competing. We just come off of the back of a Champions League final against Barcelona. We had some of the best players in the world around our stadium, one of them being Cristiano Ronaldo. We had the best striker in the world in Thierry Henry, the best defensive midfielder in the world in Patrick Vieira, by far the best left back probably ever in Ashley Cole, if you look at the comparisons there. I think that we have got into a situation where personally, 100%, Arsene Wenger has changed the mentality of this fan base with saying that top four was a trophy. And let's not forget, Soph, that top four was a lot easier to get a few years ago than it was now.
Oh yeah,
a lot easier to get. So look, he went through that. Go on, Soph.
Yeah, no, Dan, look what's happened. Teams like Leicester have overtaken us.
There we go.
This season, West Ham have overtaken us. West Ham, and I think Chelsea are about to win this game, of course, but both on 42 points. You know, we're languishing, and we have been. And it's not about, listen, the FA Cup, the Hull City FA Cup, we got lucky a little bit in the FA Cup. We played a Hull City team that we should beat. We played a very poor Aston Villa team. And then, of course, you know, 2017, I think, much harder to beat Chelsea. And then 2020, again, much harder to beat City and Chelsea on the way to winning the FA Cup. But this is about the Premier League, where Arsenal were the biggest rivals to a dominant Manchester United Sir Alex Ferguson team, Super Kev. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we, for a long time, we got so close. But when you look at how many they won versus we won, you would argue that we should have won more as well. But to go back to kind of what Dan's saying too, a little bit in that, and I've left the Gooners podcast comment up because it's a really good one. I simply don't believe that the Emirates move was a sham or a mistake. Our mismanagement of buying and selling players since David Dean left has been horrific, and that doesn't make the Emirates a mistake. Do you agree with what Mike is saying?
Yeah, we're not saying the Emirates move is a mistake, Mike. We're not saying that. What we're saying is the narrative and the culture changed because of the move. When you've just played in the Champions League final with a top team and you take on Barcelona, and let's be honest, we should have won that game. You know, a bounce of the ball here, you know, we should have won that game. If you're the manager, you should be saying, give me the funds and let me add to this team and we'll go and win it. That's what you should be saying, because you've got all the players. They've taken you to the final. But no, he started to dismantle. He's the narrative changed because the onus was on money. It was on money. The narrative changed from being the winning club, a club with the right culture, with all the players wanting to win, challenging Manchester United. All of a sudden, we started going the other way. Arsene Wenger started controlling a lot of the transfers, etc. And remember, there's certain agents he wouldn't even deal with, Sophie.
Mm-hmm.
Why wouldn't he deal with them, Sophie?
Exactly.
And they have the best players because they won't pay the money, because it's we got fitted up. That's what happened.
I think that's why, for me, there's the juxtaposition to what he's saying. It's very contradictory. From one angle, you're saying that, you know, if I didn't sell players, Arsenal Football Club would have folded. Absolute nonsense. At that time, even I think it was during the Emirates era, I mentioned this to you, Kevin, and someone can correct me. I can't remember the third team, but there were three teams. I know for certain Napoli were one and Arsenal were the other that were in the black. The only teams in Europe to be in the black. And so for him to kind of say, I had to sell players. Did you really have to sell Cesc Fabregas? If there's one player you really didn't have to sell, was it him? You know, and even over the years, you'll see, like, why didn't Petit stay? Why didn't Overmars stay? Why didn't Alexander Kleb stay? Why didn't Adebayor stay? Why didn't Samir Nasri stay? Why didn't all these players stay? And Robin Van Persie, who is Robin Van Enemy, went to Manchester United. We should never have sold him to Manchester United, because you know why? Even though he wanted to leave, we still could have controlled where he went. We've seen teams do that, but we sold him to our biggest rival. And what did he do the very next season? He goes and he wins the Premier League, which justified everything that he did to move. Same with Ashley Cole. How can you argue with his move, Kevin?
Sophie,
yes.
Do you know why he went to Manchester United? Because they paid the money. It was about money. It wasn't about the player. It was about money. They made the offer and Arsenal couldn't wait to take the money. That's it.
And the thing is, Dan, as well, I think what Casey is saying, the money became the mission. The winning became the wonder. You 100%. Know? And that's the difference between the Arsenal Football Club we once knew versus the one that, you know, it was almost like after we became the Invincibles, they felt invincible in the sense, Dan, that they could do anything and we as fans would buy it.
I honestly believe that Arsene Wenger looked at this job after the Invincibles as a bit of an experiment for himself, because it seemed to me that the philosophy completely changed. There was no more athletes in the sky. It was all ticker-tacker, small, lightweight midfielders. Fabregas was class, by the way, as was Santi Cazorla. But for me, we needed that as well as some absolute beasts in that back line and that midfield to carry those forward. And he never wanted to do it. So stubborn, absolute stubborn. And then when I look at it and I think to myself, why would Robin Van Persie want to leave? And, you know, Casey's right about money, because we're talking about money. And do you know what they said to Robin Van Persie? Robin, why do you want to leave? We're a financially secure club. I don't give a damn if we are financially secure, because when I retire from football, I look at my cabinet and it never tells me how financially secure we were. It tells me what I won in football. Nobody wants to look at their cabinet with nothing in it, and nobody wants to look at their cabinet to be told, I stayed with this club who were financially secure for 15 years and won nothing. So for me, I totally get why there was this ambition. And Arsene Wenger, unfortunately, I'm not going to say he didn't want to win, but he was never going to win with that regime. And he was so stubborn that he did not understand that. You've got Nasri, Fabregas, Sanchez, and Van Persie all left to win stuff. And they all achieved it, Soph. They all won stuff.
They did. They all did. And there was no reason. Listen, look at, and KC, we've talked a lot about Leicester City and their model today. Look at the rise of Leicester City. They've won the, it's been 17 years since we've won the Premier League. It took Liverpool 30 years. Okay, I get that. But when you look at the modernization of football and how owners have come in, and you can argue all you want about Abramovich too. We've said about his revolving managerial door, but it's yielded winning, a winning mentality. There's nothing else accepted at Chelsea other than winning trophy. And if as a manager you come in and you do not win a trophy, and even if you win the double, you're out. And it's ruthless, mm-hmm. right? And football is, and sports is about winning, okay? Mm-hmm. Now, a lot of us Arsenal fans just want us to be competitive in the Premier League again. But this year, I think we'd all love to win the Europa League. I think the problem is that Wenger has been a little bit hypocritical in that he talks about all of these issues and these problems that supposedly have happened and he inherited because of the financial model. But yet, as a manager, he still never set the team up to win trophies.
Set the team up to fail.
That's the biggest issue.
Let's be honest.
Above and beyond anything.
Yeah, let's be brutally honest. Let's be brutally honest here. We've said it all along. We knew for the best part of 15, 14 years that we needed a dominant centre-half and a dominant central midfielder. We've known that for the best part of 14, 15 years. How is it that our most greatest manager and most experienced manager never addressed those two positions and their key positions moving forward? Why did he never address it? Do you want to know the reason why? Los Angeles put it there before. We got sold out. We got sold out. And you know what? That's the hardest thing to take. Because you hear the narrative, you listen to it, and you digest it and all that. But deep down, we know. We know we're being sold out. And then when the water starts getting choppy and we start looking for the ore, there is none. There is none. We're just...
Exactly. Hype 71. Of course, we love winning the FA Cup. And I have even said on this show at the beginning of the season, we won it in 2014, 15, 17, 20. We've won it. Is that 14? Am I missing one? No. We've won it four times in six.
Last season. That's what.
Yes. But the point is that Arsenal Football Club are going to be judged on what they do in the Premier League now. And I'm not saying nobody wants to win the FA Cup, and we all wish that we'd still be in the FA Cup this season. And winning is everything. Mm. But when you have been a team that's been prolific in the league from Division One, the old days when KC was there, to the Premier League, and you go invincible and you stand toe-to-toe with Alex Ferguson's Manchester United, and you fall as far as we have, and we're seeing the ramifications of bad behavior in the Premier League for 10 to 12 years now. And it's managers like Emery and Arteta who have had to pick up the pieces, Dan. And I think people just don't understand when you see teams fall. Look at Leeds United. They're just now back in the Premier League. Nottingham Forest, they're still in oblivion. Ipswich Town, top team, Bobby Robson.
Division One. They're in Division One.
European winners as well. They're out. Mm-hmm. They're in oblivion. Football is very difficult. And look at Liverpool Football Club. And I say this with respect, but they are greater than us in terms of what they've won and what they've achieved in Europe. It took them 30 years to get back to win the Premier League. So I think when fans say, oh, you're just slandering Wenger or you're being incendiary about Wenger. No. It's not that at all, because despite what you're saying, Mr. Arsene Wenger, about having to manage the coffers or whatever, Claudio Ranieri did it with a bunch of guys and galvanized them to believe in a system and a way of playing to win the league. And that season, he couldn't keep up with them. We couldn't do it. And that was the season of all seasons, Dan, where we should have won it.
And we beat them twice.
We beat them twice that season.
We beat them twice. And you know what? We should have went on to win the league, but we weren't good enough. This is the frustrating thing.
How does that happen, Dan? How does that happen?
It's crazy, isn't it, that 6 years ago yesterday was the Danny Welbeck header against Leicester, that we all thought, come May, we'd be celebrating even more. And again, that season, we signed Petr Cech. That was it. That was the only signing that we made. No centre-half still, no defensive midfielder still, right? We signed Petr Cech, and everyone wondered why we couldn't compete with Leicester, because we needed two or three more signings that could have competed. We threw it away at Swansea at home, as I remember, with Ashley Williams' header. Went to Man United and completely capitulated with Rashford just coming onto the scene. Mm-hmm. And it was all done. It was all like done and dusted for us. And Leicester deserved to win it that year. 100% they did, right? But where I see it is this. KC always says it. When you blink, 15 years have gone. And that's basically what has happened to the three now of the most successful English clubs. In Liverpool, who had 30 years. Arsenal have now got 17 years. And let's not forget Manchester United, who, by the way, I grew up and we're winning everything. Yeah. Trebles, doubles, titles. And it's been, what, 9 years now since they won the league?
Eight, 9 years, yeah.
Unbelievable. I never would have said that. When Van Persie went there and they won the league, I never would have said that's them for 9 years. Won't see them winning it again. Unbelievable. So football is funny like that. Chelsea and Man City coming into the mix 100%. I can see in the chat people are saying it's changed football because of oil money and Roman Abramovich has come in. Of course, that has definitely had an effect on it. And you know what? When we moved to the Emirates, it probably came at the wrong time for us 100%. It made it harder for us to outjump them. But this just makes no sense to me looking back at it now. And then I look at this one and I'll just say this lastly. We went to compete with Barcelona and Bayern Munich, not Bournemouth and Burnley, because that's what we're currently doing at the moment. We are losing to teams like Burnley, and we are only dreaming of playing Bayern Munich and Barcelona again. We can't get near them. We are miles away.
Dan, for everybody in the chat, for Sophie and Dan, I'm going to tell you something now. People are talking about all the oil money and all this. Let me just tell everybody this. Who did we sell our best players to?
Our rivals.
We sold all our best players to our rivals, whether in the Premier League or in the Champions League.
City and Man United and plenty of others. Chelsea.
All our assets.
Chelsea. Yes,
all of our assets which we should have been keeping, we sold them to our rivals. And why did we sell them to our rivals? Because our rivals could not believe we would sell them.
But we did,
because give us the money.
Exactly. And I think Bernadette's right too. Fergie walked away at the right time. Wenger didn't. I think also we all agreed he should have gone after the 2015 FA Cup. And look, here's the scoop, you guys. The proof is in the pudding. We've done this. This is the model that we built. And he was part of that. And so then to kind of say and cry on Being Sports to Richard Bloody Keys, saying, I had to sell a player because Arsenal would have gone bankrupt. Oh, and selling Fabregas was painful. No. Meanwhile, he's collecting millions, and I get it. That's his job. Corporations pay, as I said at the beginning of the show, chief executives a lot of money when they're saving them millions and millions of dollars. And that's what Arsene Wenger did. It was never about winning for the or trying to win the Premier League. It was about getting in the top four to get the Champions League money. And then they didn't even reinvest it in the team, Kev.
I know
they didn't build on it. And that is where the rubber meets the road for a lot of Arsenal fans. You can respect what Wenger did, but you can also criticize him for what he didn't do. Fair?
100% fair. And you know, we strive for consistency because we know what the consistency looks like. We know what a top Arsenal team looks and feels like. The problem is we haven't had it for such a long time. That's why there's so much infighting going on. But this has been coming for the last 16, 15 years. Slowly, slowly, we've been slowing down and stopping, standing still. And other teams are passing us. But we think we are the same club. We are not.
That's,
and it's painful to say.
That's the biggest thing of all. Brilliant. It is. We're not the same club. You know, and selling Robin Van Persie to Manchester United, I know that he wanted to go. He wanted more money. Same with Samir Nasri and Adebayor and Ashley Cole. But if you're a club, you know, we've seen lots of clubs, Dan, where players want to leave and they give them more money. I mean, look, Tottenham could lose Harry Kane this summer, but every year they've tried to keep him. And what have they done? They've thrown a little bit of money at him and, you know, they've managed to kind of, you know, keep him in the mix because...
Keep him sweet.
And I think that's the difference, you know, that we feel like it's an insult when a player wants more money to stay at the Arsenal. And you know what? That's not how modern football works.
No, it's not. And where I got frustrated was I don't mind people making mistakes because that happens. I get frustrated when people make the same mistakes. And the biggest thing for me about what you guys are saying is we did it, first of all, Ashley Cole went to Chelsea straight away when David Dean had gone and he left. Everyone went, Arsenal are weak. Mm. Arsenal will sell to rivals. That was the biggest mistake we had. The biggest decline for me was when Patrick Vieira went and David Dean went. They were the two things for me that really showed the heart of midfield has gone, or the heart of Arsenal has gone, in Patrick Vieira. And David Dean, a man who loved the club, who was a right-hand man to Arsene Wenger, left. And Ashley Cole, the following season, went to Chelsea. And it was a shambles. I couldn't believe that was happening. And we got, what, 5 million and Gallas? And everyone said that was a fair deal. That was okay. Best left-back in the world at the time, by the way, by far. I mean, he was better than Maldini and Carlos because they were coming to the decline. So for me, I look at that and that was the decline for me. And then we carry on doing it. We get people right the way down to their last year of their contract with Sanchez and Ozil, which was, what, 10 years after the Fabregas situation nearly, and the likes of Van Persie. We just kept doing it. And it's a great point in the chat, and you won't be able to find the comment now because it's gone miles, but it was a great point of how long will it be before Saka and Smith Rowe are going to Man City.
I was going to ask
it's
you guys
It's a great
that.
Point. It's yeah. a great point. Sorry, Soph, I've stole your
No. I keep going, Dan, because it's true. We can't afford to lose those boys. And I'm hoping that under Edu and Arteta, there's a new culture being built and the management team and the owners understand and that we can learn from our mistakes. That's the beauty of life, is learning from mistakes.
Well, the
but
good
business
thing is
business.
The good thing is, I hope they have, Soph, because we've seen Saka and Martinelli sign long-term deals before they got to the end of their contracts. Brilliant. Absolutely superb, right? That is what we want to see happen. So now we have to keep doing that with the Smith Rowes that are coming through, because in 18 months' time, Saka's going to be needing another contract again. We need to make sure we're on top of this and we don't let it slip, because otherwise they will go. Because you know what, Soph? We're in an even worse situation now where we are currently having Leicester outjump us. Yeah, people are looking like Jack Grealish, exactly, saying, why would he go to Arsenal? He's at Villa ahead of him. So it's even harder for us now. So we need to keep hold of these players, it's 100%.
Do you know how we keep hold of them?
We build around them.
Yeah, we've got to show ambition. And I think, honestly, that's why, and I know some of the fan base are split and all that, but I think that's the project that Arteta has come in to build, because do you know what? They can't get an experienced manager because they cannot give him the money. They're not going to give him the money. So they need someone who's going to build around these kids, build something strong, rebuild our culture, because our culture's been way off.
Yeah.
For 16 years.
And Casey, I want to address Vlodko. Don't be depressed. Listen. We, as a show, have to address, when our greatest manager talks the way he did at the weekend, we're going to talk about it and we're going to address it, because he was part of the problem. He was also part of the solution early on. So there's a huge, you know, mirror image of this, a juxtaposition. He came in, gave us everything.
Was incredible. Yeah.
Glorious years, transition football, let alone our team. Amazing. So when he starts talking about how he had to sell players and the club was going to go bankrupt, and he makes all of these statements, sweeping statements, which, by the way, I haven't read his book. If someone in chat can tell me, did he even address the fact that he had to sell players because the club were going to go bankrupt? I don't know. I don't know because I haven't read the book. Because you know why? I want to remember Wenger for the years that were great. And I don't want him coming on shows and talking like this, because my last question to you guys is he doing this, Dan and Kev, to protect his legacy versus really trying? I mean, what's the point? Why would you even talk about that this weekend?
Well, he got asked the question, didn't he? He got asked the question.
But was it planted? Like, is it, you don't know when it's like, you know.
No, maybe it was. Look, maybe it was. And obviously, Dane.
Thank you, Lee.
Richard Keys knows how to play the game. Those guys know how to play the game. And if it is in his book, it is a perfect opportunity for Arsene Wenger to address it live. Ask me that question and I could answer it. And it ties in exactly what he says in the book. Because that's the setup. We've been set up so many times as Gooners, we could smell it. There is no way on this earth Arsenal would go bankrupt if they never sold those players. they're taking the most money on match day revenue in the world.
We're not QPR, man. We're not Portsmouth. What is this?
It's incredible. It is incredible. It's laughable.
That's the part I have a problem with, Kev. Everything else is selling a marquee player. I understand if your business model is to finish top four, I get it. You're going to have to move and shake. But to say that the club were close to bankruptcy if he didn't do it, that seems to be, I'm not going to say a lie, but an embellishment of the truth.
It's not the truth.
No.
Because we're not saying it's a lie, but we're saying it is not the truth. Mm-hmm. That's what it is. It's not the truth.
But surely if you get asked this, right, you're competing for titles at Highbury. I understand the last season at Highbury we got top four, but we were competing with the very, very best and we got to a Champions League final that very year. Mm-hmm. If you was to say, would you be happy here at Highbury competing with titles? Do you fancy going to a huge stadium where you have to sell one of your best players every year and just be happy we're getting top four? You'd say, I think I'll stay here, cheers, where
Thank
I can
you
win
very
titles.
Much. Yeah.
Surely.
And Mr. Waffles, maybe you're waffling. We're not talking a world of shit about Wenger. We're talking our truth about Wenger in response to what he said on BeIN Sports. This is the problem with some Arsenal fans.
This is what we get
fans.
With fans. This
you
is
know,
unreal.
We're not diminishing what he did, his legacy or anything. In fact, maybe he diminished his legacy a little bit more by what he said about the fact that the club were going to go bankrupt if he didn't sell players. If you look at the business model and the payback on the Emirates, the payback actually lessened year after year after year after year after year. That's how finances work. And in the meantime, he's being paid millions and millions of dollars. And then he's handing out contracts to Xhaka and Mustafi and paying $35 million for Xhaka. He's paying $35 million for Mustafi. You know, he's buying all of these duds and then he's selling off assets. Come on, if you can't see that, then I
can't taking help you. £10 million a year.
Unbelievable.
But we're going to be bankrupt if we don't sell Nasri for 30. It's absolute madness what this guy's saying. If you think about it, it really is crazy what come out of his mouth. It is unbelievable to think that he is happy to say that on live television and think that he's not going to get any backlash from it. And all Arsenal fans are going to sit there and go, I totally get it now. It's clear. We can see why we had to get rid of those players. Unbelievable. Yes. Ex-Gunner,
exactly.
81. We're not stupid fans.
We're not. We're very smart. And this is why we keep asking questions of our club. And you know what, Virginia, you're right. Fans need to get a reality check. Because like Kevin said, we're not the same club. We're a different club. And now we're asking someone who I've definitely had a go at, to rebuild a club. We were asking Emery to rebuild something that was broken. They both inherited an absolute dumpster fire. Everything was a mess, from the contracts to how we were doing business. I mean, look, Kevin has said it on this show many times, Dan. We gave players away for free this January. For free. There are 350 plus of you live in chat. We love our club. We want our club to be competitive in the Premier League again, let alone win it.
We want us to be the best.
It shows
you. Simple.
it shows you how bad the previous regime was when you look at the mess at our club up to the date right now. Well, we have to get rid of Sokratis and Mustafi and Ozil for pretty much nothing because they're on such ridiculous wages. Carl Jenkinson was stinking out the place for about 8 seasons because he was on 50k a week. El Neni is still here on ridiculous wages in comparison to other players. We have had some terrible footballers, yeah? And people say it's all about top four because we need to attract players. We've attracted some of the worst players I've ever seen at this club getting top four football. Some of the worst players that have ever come through this door were because of top four getting Mustafi for 35 million and Xhaka for 34, when we could have had Kante and Van Dijk at the same for like half the price. It's been so bad. 16
million Van Dijk for 16 million.
Unbelievable. Yeah.
We paid 18 million for Chambers, Dan. 18 million for Chambers.
Man. This is the problem that we've had at this club with Gazidis and Wenger. And people want to build a statue of this man because he was an absolute world beater. This guy has made so many mistakes. And people don't give George Graham enough credit, by the way, because what he did was not leave us in this absolute capitulation like this manager did. And that's why it frustrates the hell out of me. I love Arsene Wenger, right? For what he gave to me for the first 10 years. But boy, was I frustrated.
Mars Gunner put it right. We were asset stripped.
Asset stripped. Yes.
We were.
All
our assets got sold off. And then in the end, we could think about it. Once you sell off all your assets, in the end, you come unstuck. And that's where we are. We're unstuck because we can't sell anybody because we haven't got the assets to sell. Mm-hmm. Our best players are the youngsters, and we're not going to sell them because that's our only hope.
Mm-hmm.
So it cost us to get rid of the Deadwood players. Exactly. Out of the
KC, we paid $17 million for Lucas Perez. $17 million for Lucas Perez.
Stat DNA, KC. Stat DNA.
Stat
what is
DNA.
All that about?
Yeah,
metrics,
exactly.
Man. It's just unbelievable, isn't it?
Gazidis came out with that, didn't he?
Oh,
remember, Jesus. After it was yeah, we're coming to compete. Then he said, we're on a metric system. I mean, we got fed so much crap. We did. We got fed so much crap. But because that player was linked with us in the window at the start of the season, and that player was, it kind of shifted the gaze. Can't do that anymore. That's done. Them days are done.
Well, look, Dan, really appreciate you joining us again tonight.
Thanks,
but
Dan,
guys, listen, how I know you got to go, Dan, so I want to wrap this up for you. What's your parting shot for everybody on this situation? You know, it's time for Wenger to maybe just walk off into the sunset and be remembered for the legend that he was, not remind us of the mess that he left.
Enjoy your retirement. Go chill out and don't come out with this absolute nonsense which people will not respect. He's had 2 years to think of this and he comes out with that. That just frustrates everybody and brings up all the bad memories that he left behind. Yes, Casey's correct. We are picking up an absolute mess, and that's why Arteta and Edu or whoever's in charge does deserve a bit more time to clear up this absolute mess. But I look at what's happening with Arsene Wenger over the last 10 years and it upsets me more than anything, because it was frustrating and it was annoying to watch. But listen, what I look at is the upsetting part of it, because this is one of the greatest managers. I'm not sure if he was the greatest manager. Some would say he was. Some would say Herbert Chapman. Some would say George Graham. As far as I'm concerned, he was a fantastic manager in his first 10 years. The last 10 years were shambolic in parts. And he was partly massively to blame for that. Not the only person. You can bring up Gazidis, Kroenke, all these as well. But for me, massive part, because he was running that club pretty much. And unfortunately, his stubbornness completely let him down. Patrick Vieira, I'll finish on this. Patrick Vieira said in the, what was it called? Greatest of Rivals with him and Roy Keane. He said, what was Arsene Wenger's biggest strength? And he said, the trust in players. And they said, what was his weakness? Trust in players. And that's what he did. He trusted the wrong players in so many positions. And that's where we are now. And we're clearing up the mess. So that's my part.
That's a good roundup.
That's a good roundup.
Very good, Dan. Listen, thanks for joining us. Really appreciate you jumping in on the show tonight.
Dan. Thanks, mate.
Thanks a lot, mate. And we'll be chatting football with you again real soon.
Absolutely. Pleasure, guys. So always a pleasure. Casey, legend. I'll speak to you both soon.
Take care, man.
Cheers.
Great points. And
he's spot on. He's bang on. You know Dan's always on point. He's always on point.
And I think it's, you know, this whole notion that a little bit like now, you can criticize Arteta. Doesn't mean that you want bad things for him. You know, it's okay. But it, you know, the club is in the situation it is because it has been mismanaged for so long, Casey. And that's why we wanted to come on tonight and talk about this subject, because you cannot go on television and say those things and not expect Arsenal fans to have a reaction, Kev. And
100%.
Look, Soph,
I think Arsene Wenger, this was calculated. And it's not to harm the club, of course not. But I think it was, if they're going to get him on, they have to ask him some things about Arsenal.
Right.
There are some stuff. It's no point them asking about, you know, the semi-final against Manchester United or, you know, the Invincibles. No, but they want a scoop. They want something that is going to
cause a reaction. Yeah.
Now, this definitely caused a reaction. Let's be honest.
Yes.
And because if it doesn't cause a reaction in you, you've got to be dead.
As an Arsenal fan, you're not an Arsenal fan if it doesn't cause a reaction in you. You've absolutely
got to be, whether you agree or disagree, it's got to start something in you. Mm-hmm. Because at the end of the day, how do we as a football club go from challenging at the top and being one of those best teams in Europe to sliding down the scale? And we're so inconsistent, we're an embarrassment that we have to pay players to leave our football club.
Yeah.
That's the scales. The scales are just so unbalanced. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. And I agree with Alex. He should have won more. He had the opportunity to win more. We get a 10 out of 10 tonight from quite a few people, Kev. And, you know, at the end of the day, Chris asked the question, where is this Chris? Because he said, okay, we've talked about the problems. When are we going to talk about the solutions? Well, you know what, Chris? We talk about this on our show a lot every single day, but we're going to do a follow-up and we're going to talk about this maybe a little towards the end of the season where we know where we sit and where Edu sits in Arteta and this summer transfer window. So you bring up a great point. Where do we go from here? That show is coming. Real quick before we go, our good friends at footballprizes.co.uk. Come on, it's DB10. There's only one Dennis Bergkamp. You got the Dennis Bergkamp signed and framed Arsenal shirt. You can go get your ticket online. It just costs a minimal amount. You get put in a pot with only 100 fans, so there's a great chance to win. And this week it's Dennis Bergkamp, one of the greatest players we've ever seen, wear the shirt for the Arsenal. We are going to be giving away a free ticket on Thursday. You'll get your number for that. So make sure you tune in on Thursday at the end of the show. We'll be asking you another question. We had a great listener who won it last week. He got it right with Kevin's debut and the date on that thrown into the ring. Unfortunately, he didn't win, didn't get lucky, but one of you could get lucky this week on the Dennis Bergkamp shirt. Great Arsenal memorabilia and collectibles every single week. And this week it is the legend, the Iceman that is Dennis Bergkamp. And I think Arsenal fans, KC, that's what they want to see again. It's
great. They want to see the great players.
Exactly.
They want to see, you know, all Arsenal fans want to see a successful Arsenal, don't we? That's what we want.
It. That's all we want.
Successful Arsenal, and we know what it feels like. We know what it is like to have a successful team, challenging and winning titles. But when we don't have it, it's painful. It really is painful.
It is. It's very painful. And Amesy, maybe coming soon. Watch this space. You never know. Right, Super Kev, we are going to be back tomorrow night. Instead of, we've got a guest on Wednesday, which we'll announce tomorrow. So Kevin says is going to be tomorrow night, you guys. So get ready. Remember, that's your show. You get to have your voice heard. It's all about you and KC. And remember, there's 300 plus of you in chat. Hit that like button for us. And for those that have hit the dislike button tonight, I get it. You think like you love Wenger. We love Wenger too. But we're still going to be friends whether you like us or not. You're entitled to your opinion. It's all
100%,
good.
100%.
Right, Kev?
100%, Sophie. 100%. And listen, this is all about our football club. And we're not always going to agree. That's for sure. We're not always going to agree. Listen, I didn't agree with Sophie, did I? The other day, and I nearly got muted. There you go. And many of your hopes I did. Many of your hopes I probably did get, would get muted, but I didn't. So, look, we love the club, and let's keep battling and get ready for Kev Says Tomorrow, because it's going to be an absolute corker. Come on, you Gunners!
Get in!